Welcome, virtual entrepreneurs, millennials on the go, and adventure seekers with big dreams. You found the right place. My name is Alexis Teichmiller, a millennial, lifestyle blogger, and digital creative. The Laptop Lifestyle is designed to inspire, educate, and challenge you to live the life you want every day. Together, let's unlock how to live the laptop lifestyle to the fullest. So today I am so honored to bring Kelsey Chapman to you guys today. She is a blogger and she is the founder of Radiant Magazine. And I've been following her for probably 2 years now via social media, and I've just seen her grow as a woman and grow as an entrepreneur, and I am so honored to have her on the show. Hey girl, how's it going?
Hey, thanks so much. I'm so excited to be here.
I'm so happy to have you here as well. So tell me a little bit about who you are and how you got started in blogging, and then we can kind of transition into how you started Radiant.
Awesome. Well, okay, so I started blogging shortly after I got back from Africa. I went to Africa this summer before I got married, totally thinking I was going to go live in a village after I got married. And I got there, and it was kind of like this epiphany because all I read were business books while I was sitting in a village. Oh. And I really had thought that I would pursue what I considered more noble in going and serving overseas. And here I was kind of being forced to rethink like, oh, actually, maybe I've been given these gifts and talents and dreams and desires for a reason. And it's not bad to pursue those. So I came home kind of refreshed and encouraged and still unpacking a lot of what I learned there. But I came home and I started a blog with a friend. I kind of just started pursuing the creative avenues that I kind of suppressed for a little bit in favor of what I thought was more noble. And so I just started it. My friend Kendall and I started the Radiant Life blog, and it was a journey. We had a lot of fun. We learned together. We grew together. And after about a year, I was moving across the country. She wanted to slow down a little bit. I'm just now learning to slow down a little bit. She caught on a little early. We decided to, you know, go our own ways on very amicable terms, but, you know, pursue a blog in our own rights, in our own capacity. So I changed the Radiant Life blog to just kelseychapman.com. She has her own blog now. And so I just, you know, continued writing. What my blog has always been has just been a mixture of my own passion. So I've always wanted to be a writer and have a book one day, but I love fashion. I love adventure. I love traveling. So I just kind of took the rules off the game and just created a space of what I actually enjoy. And so it's been a journey because, you know, you're told there are a lot of shoulds. You should have your niche. You should be doing this, that, etc. But I kind of just made a space that represented who I was and what I actually like, and tried to stay true to that through my blog. And then after about a year of doing that, I had all these guest posters, but it was kind of hard to vet like who would be writing and keeping it consistent. And I really loved the idea of women passing along wisdom to one another. It was just really hard to stay consistent when it was a different person and a different guest poster every week. So I started toying with the idea of a magazine where, you know, each columnist could have their field and their niche, and they wrote about it in an excellent way, and they could be offering up their advice to other women through navigating different challenges in any given field. So in marriage or creativity or business or motherhood or dating, whatever, there's a column for it, and they can share their advice and experiences with other women in hopes of empowering and encouraging them. So that's where Radiant Magazine came into play this May, and we hit the ground running, and it's been fun.
That's awesome. Gosh, so many things I want to say about what you said. First off, I am so happy to hear that you pursued your creative passions, even though there was a little bit of hesitance within you. because I know that you're a believer because I do follow your blog. And so I assume you were in Africa because you wanted to do missions.
Yeah, I did a really intense missions training school, and I still see myself doing that. But there, God talked to me a lot about, like, it's noble to do whatever I've called you to do. You don't have to just, you know, perceive one avenue of serving me as holier or better than another. And I definitely see myself doing missions long term. But for this season, you know, being here and being stateside and living out what he's called me to do here, it's been really fun and really, like, life-giving, more life-giving than forcing myself to do what I thought was the most noble option.
Yeah, and the work that you're doing right now in yourself is preparing you for that long-term, you know, mission field, if that's what you choose. But also something that just kind of sparked my thoughts is that your blog is kind of your mission field. You know, you are talking about your walk with God. You're talking about your creative path, and same with Radiant. Like, you are kind of building this creative mission field. Do you agree? Or I don't know if you've ever thought of it that way.
Oh, yeah. I mean, like, Radiant is my dream coming true. Like, if this is what I do for the rest of my life, I am, like, so satisfied. I feel like God's presence in that so much. And so I feel very, like, content to, like, know that God is moving through it. And it's been really cool because after I got back, you know, I went full-time freelance with social media this summer in June. But before that, I worked for other people and I worked in the nonprofit sector. And one thing that I really came to terms with after working for two different public figures who had these incredible visions was, if you miss it with your team in favor of accomplishing this grand mission, you're missing the point. And so kind of my first ministry is my team of columnists. And we had this retreat this past weekend where we got together and I was mainly the point person of everyone. They hadn't met before. And it was amazing that in one night, a room of strangers could become family and say, wow, I've been missing community like this for years. And to me, I'm like, that's it. Like, that's the point of this. If women can come together and encourage and empower each other in a small capacity, like my team, then that's the main goal. That's the main point. We can, you know, do really honorable, impactful things all day long. But if we miss it with our team and the people right around us, we're missing the point.
Oh, I love that so much, because I think sometimes as leaders, because you are a leader, you can miss sight of the grander goal in the process because you're so worried about achieving something or achieving an accomplishment that you forget about all the things that have to happen to make that goal actually come to fruition. And that happens with a team of people. And I think that's something I'm learning too, is that I can't always do things on my own. I have to have a team of people around me to help me get to where I want to go. And it sounds like you really learned that from working for other people. And then now, as on your own as an entrepreneur, you're able to take that and actually do something with it, which is incredible.
Oh, yeah. It was one of the most challenging years of my life before I went freelance, because I worked for these people with these amazing visions, but left work devastated a lot of days, knowing that I had prayed about it, felt a green light, like, yes, this is exactly what I'm supposed to be doing right now. I know I'm supposed to take this job, only to those jobs, you know, taking over my life, having zero work-life balance, classic ministry nonprofit where you're overworked and underpaid. Mm-hmm. But actually through those challenges and having a lot of moments of like, God, why am I doing this? You told me to do this. You know, learning exactly the way I want to lead my team. Through my trials, I could kind of see what worked and what didn't work. And I'm sure I will have my own challenges and my team will have, you know, will be able to tell you things that I don't do in the best way as well. But learning exactly how I want to format my Radiant community, because that's my first ministry, you know?
Absolutely. And I think the fact that you see that makes you a better leader, and the fact that you also know that you're not perfect. I think sometimes when as entrepreneurs, as we do see accomplishments and we do, you know, make big strides towards our goal, sometimes we don't see the flaws in ourselves and recognize and become aware of the mistakes that we make along the way and learn from them. And so as an entrepreneur, what do you think, even the last 6 months, has been something that your mistakes have taught you?
Man, I could be the first to say that I am flawed and make mistakes, you know.
We all are.
One thing I've learned in the past 6 months alone is that, like, I know my challenge of kind of being a control freak. That is maybe a fatal flaw of mine. And, you know, going behind people and doing things the way I'd want it done versus, you know, calling them higher and teaching them how to do it that way in the first place. And so knowing that I can be a micromanager, what I did with Radiant was I was super lax with deadlines at the beginning. I was like, oh, no biggie. It's no big deal. Because that was me trying to overcompensate, knowing that I can be controlling. So I was like, I'll just be free.
Yeah.
And so then I created this very lax culture and started to get my feelings hurt when columns weren't on time. You know, I thought, why, you know, it hurts my feelings that they won't turn their columns in on time. And then I had to, like, you know, sit down and think, this is the culture I've created. I've made it no big deal. This is on me. And so we sat down, we made a manual, we made expectations in writing of why we need columns on time, because we want to take Radiant above and beyond. And if we're spending a third of the month wrangling columns in, we're really missing a lot of productive time we could be using for something more important. And so, you know, even realizing areas where I have to backtrack and recreate and reestablish the office culture, even though it's totally not from an office.
Yeah, well, it's a virtual community that you lead.
Exactly. And so recreating and reestablishing that culture and setting really clear expectations in writing and why, because, you know, it will allow us all to go above and beyond.
So what is your end vision with Radiant? You know, I think, and I'm learning this in my own business, is that things come in steps, you know, like, okay, step one, I want to do this, and then I want to do this, and so on and so forth. And sometimes I'm the kind of person that wants to do all of those steps at one time and not realize that things take time. And yeah, which is, yeah, it's a struggle. But what do you think is something that you see, you know, Radiant in a year, 2 years, 3 years down the line?
Man, we just went with my core leadership to Chicago and sat down and took a week to map this all out. So I couldn't be happier to tell you exactly what we're doing, because now we actually know. Radiant Magazine Online will always be free. That is kind of our intro point, where anyone can always come get really empowering and encouraging information for free. And maybe we monetize that through advertising, but the content will always be free to the general population. And then in the spring, we really hope to launch a shop with materials and resources, devotionals, journals. That'll kind of be like tier two and kind of a step deeper, because, you know, Radiant Magazine, just the entry point website, is very, like, appealing to all people. Like,
absolutely,
there are plenty of Christian bookstores to take someone deeper. So I always think about someone who maybe doesn't know God. I want the information to be excellent enough that even if they're not a believer, them to still walk away and feel like their life was enhanced and they were encouraged no matter what. But I still do want to take believers deeper. So they can do that through the articles and then through tier two, maybe resources, devotionals kind of developed by our columnists, because they're rock star writers with incredible messages. And then we definitely foresee, like, conferences and workshops, maybe even one next year. A lot of feedback, though, from the retreat with just our columnists was, are you offering a retreat? I want to come. And so we're kind of, like, revisiting the idea of maybe our first thing we should offer is a retreat.
Yeah.
where people,
I would come.
Yeah, where women can just come together. It's super affordable, but have a weekend where we could, you know, meet at a really cute boutique hotel and come together and do in a larger capacity kind of what my team did last weekend. So that might be, you know, step three. And then tier four, which is what I'm really excited about, is we really plan to launch city meetups called Live Radiant, where women just come together. There's kind of a facilitator who can lead pointed questions, but it'd be kind of a meetup point of women in a community who just want friends to walk with them in whatever endeavors they're pursuing. So they just need a friend who's another mom, or they need a friend who's another entrepreneur, or they just need a friend who is learning to navigate their marriage, you know? Whatever, but it be a place where women from all different walks of life can come together and encourage one another. And, you know, we were almost fairly certain it would work and do well. But after our retreat this weekend, and one question that of just share your story, don't share the 5-second version, share like the 5-minute version of who you are, what your goals and dreams are. To see a room of 15 girls who didn't know each other become family through that one question in the course of 2 hours, the first night of our retreat, we're like, okay, we know this can work because of how much community it developed in just 2 hours. So we're really excited. We plan to launch that in the spring and see where it goes.
I love hearing your vision for Radiant, because so much of what you're trying to create speaks to me as a creative and as a woman entrepreneur who has big dreams and has big goals. And I love that you're creating a safe space for not only your columnists, but also women in this country, and then online, women around the world, to feel connected and to feel like they're not alone is just such a beautiful thing. And it kind of leads me to my next question, is how do you start something bigger than yourself? Because this was your idea, this is your business. What steps, or maybe just let me inside your brain a little bit about the process it takes to start something bigger than Kelsey Chapman?
Man, you know, honestly, for me, a lot of prayer, because, and I'm not the person praying for 2 hours every morning. Like, I wish I was. I just have the attention span of a squirrel. But, you know, I am an inviter by nature. Like, to put it into perspective, I'm the person who invited 5 people to all hang out, and none of them know each other except they know me. And then it's just awkward. Sometimes it's great, and sometimes it's painfully awkward.
So, that's hilarious.
You know, I've ended up on vacations where I invited random people, and it was a disaster because we're like, what the heck was I thinking? But I think anyone starting their own business navigates that challenge, because you naturally want to hire your friends, but that can be really messy. And so I really wanted to prayerfully consider each and every columnist and each and every like leadership position on Radiant. And so as I thought through columnists, I really thought through people I had built relationship with over the last year, and like a deep relationship, because it's easy to like think people are great at face value, but if you don't know them, you can't even foresee the challenges you're going to face. And in this world, everyone wants a platform. Give me my platform. People are like tumbleweeds. They blow in and they blow out. So I really wanted to think through like whose heart is it to equip and empower women, not just have a place where they can be the next Instagram star. And so I really, really intentionally considered each and every girl and just felt like they were highlighted. Like I would just think through like, are they a yes? Ooh, yes. That girl is a yes. Like I just feel it. I know that I know that I know that she's a yes. I don't know why this person is a no, but they are. And so just praying through that and having to own it, you know, with my really core leadership team. So I have 2 Kellys, essentially. 1 Kelly is the COO, and the day I launched Radiant, I knew one day when I can pay her, she is who I want to help me run this show, because she knows what she's doing. She has my heart and my vision, but she also has gifts and talents that I don't. Like she has an MBA with a focus in nonprofit management. She can help me build out the structure to support this dream. And it was amazing because in June, I had told her that, but, you know, I don't have, you know, the funds quite yet to pay a COO what a COO deserves.
Yeah.
And she called me in June and was like, Kelsey, I've just, she quit, you know, her really high level job. And she was really considering what she was going to do next. She had been consulting in the corporate world. And she was like, you know what? I think I'm ready to come on board with Radiant and I'm ready to do it now. Like, you don't have to pay me. We can wait until that time, but I'm all in. And to see what she does behind the scenes for free makes me want to pay her whatever I can one day, because it's amazing to have people invested in something and steward something really well when it's small. Like, they can be trusted with everything when it's huge. And so I have Kelly Nelson as the COO and another Kelly, who's Kelly McClure, as the, who will build out the Live Radiant side, who has a huge passion for impacting communities. She's really passionate about social justice. Just got back from Hillsong College from their program for social justice. So really just God highlighting the perfect people to take on different aspects of Radiant in areas that I'm not as strong in. So it's been really cool. And I'm all about personality types, like constantly studying them. So it's been cool to see like how we work together. Okay, this is a Kelly Nelson and I almost always just get each other because we're the exact same personality type. Kelly McClure, who is going to run the nonprofit side, she functions like my husband. So we almost always navigate conversations the exact same way I would with my husband. Whereas the first Kelly, who has my personality type, we can get to the point in 30 seconds because we intrinsically get each other. Kelly McClure and I have to navigate a few like different routes before we're like on the same page. And that's okay. We're okay with that. We know that about each other, and we're willing to do the hard work of seeking to understand one another. And it's actually been a huge growing process. No tension. It's been really cool.
I love to hear that you are figuring out the way that you both communicate, and that's going to help you as, you know, better as a leader, but then also as you build this team around you, you're actually doing the work to see how you both function individually and how you communicate and how you receive information. And that's something as an entrepreneur, when you start working with other people, especially as a freelancer, taking the time to get to know how your clients interact or how they communicate is so vital to a successful, you know, relationship with them.
I so agree, because it's really easy to get frustrated and just wash your hands and move on. That's the easy route, but it's not going to support you in the long term, and it's not going to do anyone any favors when you just give up. Like, doing the hard work of building relationship is what's going to provide longevity, and I so believe in it because I've seen it work. Like, it is so worth it. The relationships where I've done the hard work of understanding one another and navigating those challenges have turned out to be some of my deepest, most trusted relationships. So I think I'm all for it. I think it's so worth it to not just give up when you feel that tension, you know?
Mm-hmm. On the flip side of that, when is the right time to give up? When you do feel the tension and you are doing the work, when is time to say, okay, I've tried, but I just don't genuinely think this is going to work.
Whether that be
in like business relationships, friendships, or, you know, relationships in general, like when is time to walk away from something?
Man, I feel like in the past year, I've been faced with that in every relational aspect. So in a job, in business relationships, in friendships, like it's been challenging. And I think the main thing is being really direct, like be brave in your communication. And if you choose to sweep it under the rug and not address it, it's on you. But if you can respectfully and honorably address the problem, let them know what you're thinking. And if at that point neither of you can navigate and find a solution, then okay, it's time to walk away. I had to do that with my job, and I had been building up my freelance clientele all year, and it was about that time anyways. But I was working 80 hours a week and being paid for 35, And I was like, I can't live like this. I cannot martyr myself for an amazing vision, but where y'all have no value for me. And I had to walk away. And it was painful because it was a seemingly great opportunity. I did learn so much from working for that nonprofit. And what they're still doing is very, very incredible work. I mean, doing microfinancing, building banks in Uganda, really cool stuff, totally marrying all my interests of mission, social media, blogging. They were doing it all within one organization, and it was truly incredible to work there. But I had to walk away at the end of the day and say, I can't martyr myself and sacrifice my family, my friendships. I'm becoming a different person. It's time for me to walk away.
Yeah. How do you find your value, though? Because I think sometimes, whether we're working for someone else, whether we're working for ourselves, sometimes we lack to see the true value of what we bring to the table. And I think that's something that I think women in general suffer with a lot. So how do you find your value and embracing with confidence your gifts and also being able to stand up for yourself when you feel like you're being taken advantage of?
I think in the working world, owning your value comes with time. You know, what I would have done 2 years ago is a lot different than what I would do now because I was just starting out. I would say yes to everything. Yes, 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 yes. But now I'm getting to a place where I'm a little more in the swing of things and established to where I can say, no, that's not in my best interest. And I have to trust my gut here and walk away. Whereas, you know, there's kind of, you know, that rookie year when you're first starting out where you have to, you know, work the 80 hours. And I still do as I still work crazy hours as I work, you know, work with my clients during the day and launch Radiant at night. But yeah. At the same time, there comes a confidence that's built up over time when you're working for someone or for yourself where you begin to own it. It's slowly but surely. It's not overnight. But it just comes. You come to know, I'm good at this. Like 2 years ago, I would not have thought I was good at Instagram. But now I own it. Like I like Instagram. It's my niche. And I can teach you all about it for how to make your business more successful. And I can own that. Whereas I would have been really meek and timid about it 2 years ago. But yeah, I think that confidence comes over time. But I also think it comes through self-care and working on yourself. I'm a huge fan of counseling. I'm like, girl, you are going to love the world through the lens at which you love yourself. So if you can't love yourself, you can't love the people around you. So go sit down with someone and work through ways to love yourself better. Even me, I'm learning to slow down in this season of life. I've hustled for 2 years and I'm tired. And if I don't learn healthy balance, I'm going to burn out. Mm-hmm. And so even just learning to care for myself in that capacity.
Girl, I can relate to what you just said so much. And I'm a huge believer in therapy. And I'm a huge believer in taking the time to reflect on who you are, who you want to be, who God created you to be. But in the process, like, we have to be kind to ourselves. We have to give ourselves grace. And I think I know I'm really, really hard on myself whenever I might not be where I thought I would be now, you know?
Yeah.
And I say that to my parents and they're like, you're 23. Like, you're doing just fine. But there's still these big God-sized goals inside of me. And I feel every day that I'm not closer to that, I'm somehow disappointing myself and disappointing him. And I've had to come to terms with that because I don't think God puts things on our hearts and in our souls because he wants us to feel bad for not accomplishing them, you know, every single day.
Right.
I think we get closer to those goals whenever we have conversations like you and I are having right now. Like, having intentional conversations and being kind to people and being loving and taking the time to love ourselves is how we can, you know, make those strides towards those big dreams. And like, doing the work in the process is not easy at all. And I also think it's something that our society does not talk about enough, is the idea of self-care and not making such a martyr of our work and of the entrepreneurial journey. It's like, hey, you know, I just really want to chill. I don't want to do anything today. I'm like, that's okay. That's okay too.
Yeah. Seriously, I think that even as we sat at the Radiant Retreat and half of the room was like, yeah, I'm in counseling. I was like, yes, own it. That is not a taboo topic, because actually the people who are spending time to develop and care for themselves are going to be a step ahead of the game. You know, I'm 26 years old. If I can get some of these things figured out at this stage of my life, hopefully I have 3/4 the next 75 years of my life in even more fullness, joy, and freedom. Like, I want to take off all my limitations, anything that I'm believing about myself. I want to let go of any little lies I'm believing about myself, any negative self-talk. I want to let it all go so that I can step into what's next. Like, I want to be able to fully enjoy the next season ahead of me, whether that is running really hard with Radiant. I want to be strong enough to do it. And be healthy enough to do it.
So yes, girl. Preach that. I love that. So something I've been wanting to ask you is that you're very bold with your faith on social media and through your blogs. And I kind of wanted to ask you, what has that been like? And how do people respond to that bold faith in a world that tells us to, you know, stifle that or not to talk about it?
Man, you know, I just am me. Like, my biggest thing is, I know it's everyone's biggest thing right now, authenticity. It's like everyone read Brené Brown at once. But
yes.
If you haven't read Brené Brown, read her or watch her TED,
I love it.
You'll get it. But, you know, like, that is my thing. You know, I just want to be the best version of myself. I don't want to pretend to be anyone else, nor do I need a friend of mine to pretend to be someone they're not. I just want to know people for who they genuinely are. And this is just who I am. But I'm also not super cookie cutter. Like, I totally am the Christian that I love Jesus, but I cuss a little. And I like wine. You know? And you know, I just try to be me and empower and equipping people to be the best version of themselves. And I think through, like, you know, we've made Christianity to be kind of one size fits all. And that's why it's not appealing to some people. Like, hello, because of how some Christians act, I wouldn't want to be a Christian either if I wasn't, you know?
Yeah.
So I just want to do the best I can at sharing about how I live my life with Jesus. My life is so much more fun, more adventurous, more joyful, more full, more free with God. So I just want to showcase that, because do I have challenges? Do I have hard years? Do I have things that suck? Absolutely. But like, the goodness of God has totally transformed my life. So I want to share that, because, you know, I want to highlight how freaking awesome he is in a good way, so that maybe someone who's never encountered him could think, hey, my life could actually be more enjoyable with God, not worse.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think sometimes we put Christianity in a box and we create so many rules around it that why would it appeal to anybody that's not a Christian?
Heck yeah. I mean,
you know, like, why would I want to be a Christian if I have to follow all these rules, look this way, talk this way, act this way? And yeah, it's been something I've learned as I have moved away from home and I have established my own relationship with God and the peaks and valleys that it has had. Like, I am my own person and I have to own that first. You know, I can't try to be something else that I'm not, whether that be on social media or whether that be in real life, you know?
Yeah. And I think God, like, he has so many different facets to his character. And I think each of us living in our unique intrinsic value showcases a part of who he is. Like, God is not only one personality type. So, like, I think just all of us owning who we are and representing God through a full, free expression of ourselves is the best service we can do in honoring him and truly using our creative outlets as a ministry, because it showcases him in a new way, not just, you know, a cookie cutter way that everyone who's a Christian has to fit this mold, because that's not true. Like, that's the one thing I want Radiant to be, is a place where everyone belongs. And a lot of people preach that, but not a lot of people live that. Mm. And it really is a space where everyone belongs, because I want all types of friends. I do not want just one little mold of friends and we all have to be the same. That's just not interesting to me.
I completely agree with that. I love that you are so bold, and I love that you are staying true to who you are and who God has created you to be. And I know he is doing incredible things with Radiant, and the work that he's doing in you to make that happen, and the columnists and everybody that you come in contact with, it's just incredible. On the topic of being authentic with social media, I would love to hear your thoughts on how social media has grown your blog, how it has grown Radiant, and kind of the power in which it has.
Oh, man. Okay. So
here we go.
Social media to me is like a double-edged sword. It has changed my life for the positive. It helped me create a career. I went to school for global studies in Spanish. Like, I'm totally not using what I have 2 college degrees for. So, you know, for me, it helped me pursue my dreams. Do I like being on Instagram all day? No way. I fantasize about gardening. But it has helped me leverage my real dreams, which are writing, which are encouraging women, which are having this online platform to speak into the lives of other people, an online platform to just be creative and tell people about it. And so, you know, Instagram's clearly my niche. Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, they're great, but they're not my niche. But social media in the sense of Instagram has really changed my life, because it's really allowed me to leverage my dream. And so also in working with clients, you know, people are like, do you just love Instagram? And I'm like, it's okay. I just know it well. Mm-hmm. And I love that I can use it to make your dream happen. So whether you're a small boutique or whether you're an entrepreneur, I love that I can take your Instagram account, you know, help take the branding and the imagery up a notch, help gain you the right kind of follower. Because if you're a bohemian clothing line in Hawaii, you don't need followers who are following Coca-Cola. You need followers who are interested in fashion, you know, yeah. So gaining the right type of follower. It's really helped me leverage my dreams and help other people make their dreams happen, because you can have a great product or great writing or whatever all day long, but if no one ever hears about it, it'll never get, you know, read or bought or whatever. So that's why I love Instagram, is just to bring awareness to whatever your dream is. It's a great platform to do that. I don't love how it can truly take over your life, and it's truly taken over mine at times, you know. And so I'm learning the beautiful art of balance as I do that for my job. You know, I manage about 15 different client accounts every month. And so,
okay. Just to clarify, you have 15 different Instagram accounts that you manage?
Yes, but they're not mine. Okay. They might be a boutique. Like, I have a boutique in Hawaii,
yeah.
Or whatever.
Yeah.
And so,
that's really cool.
I work with all these different clients to represent their brand, whether they're just an entrepreneur or, let me clarify, whether they're an entrepreneur, not just an entrepreneur, whether they're an entrepreneur or, you know, a clothing line owner or a teeth whitening company. Like, I've had it all. And so it's been fun to do that for them. But also setting boundaries of like, okay, I can't be on my phone till 10 at night. I've got to learn to turn off. And oh, yeah. I can't work 7 days a week. I've got to learn to like take a day or two off of my phone.
Mm-hmm. What kind of scheduling tools do you use for Instagram? Do you use like Planoly or Latergram, or what do you use?
I use Schedugram.
Oh, okay.
I haven't heard of that. It's actually one of the only platforms I've utilized that posts for you.
Ooh.
It's great. And so I love Sketchagram for that sense. And then you can use Snug to curate your feed in advance. So to see if your feed's going to flow, you can load in, 30 pictures and move them around until they look great.
That's really cool. I have not heard of either of those.
Yeah. So Snug is an app and then Sketchagram is a website. And there's really only two websites I've run across that post for you. But Sketchagram is what I prefer because it's just the most user-friendly and the billing's not crazy. So, yeah.
I'm definitely going to – I'll put those in the show notes too for anybody listening. And then I will also start using those.
Yeah,
I need to start implementing those into my life. Okay, so the show is called The Laptop Lightning Round. So at this time, I'm going to ask you a few questions about your relationship with your laptop. Okay. And it's just really quick. So the first thing that comes to your mind. Okay.
Okay.
All right. If your laptop had a name, what would it be?
Rainbow.
Rainbow. Can you tell me why?
I always have weird names for my future children, and David thinks they're all so strange, my husband, and he refers to our future children as Rainbow because all of my names are just that out there. I do not plan on having a child named Rainbow, so I will just name my computer that.
That is so great because your computer is essentially kind of like a child,
yes.
too.
Yes, it really is.
Okay, what is a screensaver on your laptop?
What is it? Oh, it's a picture of David, my husband, and I at the lake.
Aw, cute. What are three applications or programs on your computer that you could not live without?
Sketchagram, although it is a website technically, but man, it allows me to be hands-free from Instagram every second of the day. Dropbox, because it houses all my pictures. And man, I don't know of another one that I use religiously. Probably my notes. I use my notes function on my computer all the time.
Me too. I'm a big note taker.
Yeah.
I love it. Okay. How many hours a day do you spend on your laptop?
Probably 4 to 8.
Depending on the day?
Depending on the day. You know, some days I'll just work from my phone on the go and, try to work as I go to look at this overlook on Pikes Peak or something. It's not always the most doable, but some days I might be on my computer 8 to 10, and then some days I might be 2 to 4.
That's a good balance. That's a really good balance. Okay. The last question is, what does the laptop lifestyle mean to you?
Yeah, to me, it's just allowed me to pursue my dreams, from being able to move from working for someone to working, for myself with clients from my laptop allows me to, if I need to be off on Wednesday that week, I can because I make my own schedule. Or if I need to work from 6 to 10 in the morning on my client's work, but I can take my computer and work in Chicago with my friends from noon to 8 at night, I can. And I just love that. I love the freedom it provides me.
I agree. The freedom that, especially in the world that we live in, just technology has created this amazing lifestyle for us to be able to work for ourselves. And I love the idea of your company and your business and Radiant. And I just love seeing you living that out and staying true to that. It is so awesome.
Thank you.
You're welcome, girl. Okay. So I have two more questions for you, but before I ask those, I would love for you to share, where can people find you online?
Ooh, yeah. So I have KelseyChapman.com is just my blog, fashion, writing, all of that jazz. And then I have a social media e-course that will be released on that platform next month. And
Yay. Yeah,
I'm really excited.
That's awesome. What's it called?
It's to be decided. I'm filming this Sunday on the title. Probably something along the lines of brand breakout.
Okay.
But that will be 4 hours of everything you need to know about social media. So I'm really excited for that. And then my magazine is radiantmagazine.org. And you can check us out there.
And you're Kelsey Chapman on Instagram. And then you are Radiant, Radiant Magazine on Instagram too?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay, perfect. I'll also link those up in the show notes too. But I always love to hear, you know, give you the opportunity to share kind of what's been going on in your business and where people can find you online. So, okay, my second to last question is, what is the biggest advice that you could give to someone just getting started in the online creative space?
I would definitely say meet up with people. Like, having a community makes you feel so not alone in this process. Like, there will be, in whatever endeavor you dive into, there will be people who treat it like it's your sweet little side hobby. And you're like, actually, I work 40 hours after work on this. So, you know, I just say find community. I mean, early on, I found Amelia. I heard you heard your interview with her last week. We got coffee with Brooke. Like, very early on, we were just getting coffee with all kinds of people just to, like, you know, not necessarily even swap tips, but just to know each other and know that we had a community of creatives behind us who understood the challenges of it, who understood when people treated like it was trivial. And so I really, that would be my like end all be all, just find some community. They're out there. You know, if you have 500 followers, the girl with 300,000 followers is probably not going to be able to meet with you, but find someone just a little bit ahead or right on par with you. I promise people want to invest in you.
Yeah. That's something I'm learning a lot into, is to be bold and reach out to people who are farther along in their entrepreneurial journey, who can teach me things and who maybe I can teach them something too. But I think it's can be very intimidating to reach out to somebody, but I think it's so worth it. And it has really sparked such a fire in me to reach out to people like you and Brooke and Amelia and have these conversations with people who are going after it. It just inspires me so much. And then it also allows me to be like, hey, you know, they're doing it and I can do it too.
Yes, exactly. And people want to invest in other people. Like, as long as I don't feel like someone is just trying to hang out with me to suck the information out of me, I'm so willing to share everything I know, you know? And so you definitely run into people who don't want to know you. They want to know your knowledge. And that's hurtful because I'm a person. And when I want to learn from someone, I want to know them. And so it's vulnerable. Like, I've totally reached out to people and never heard back from them. For anyone listening, just know that I totally have reached out to people and never heard anything. And it's okay if they don't respond to you too.
Yeah. There will be same here.
There. Yeah.
I love it. Thank you so much for sharing that. That is super helpful. And I think vital to entrepreneurship is to find a solid community of people who can lift you up along the way.
Yeah.
So my last question is, what are you most grateful for in the creative life that you live right now?
Man, like, it honestly always goes back to community for me. You know, I've built this like girl gang of girls who support each other and really believe in each other. We live in a world where we're taught that there's lack, but really there's room for all of us to be successful. There is, like, believing the lie that there's not enough room for all of us is crazy. There are plenty of people to read your blog and mine. There's no reason for either of us to feel threatened by each other. So to just have community amongst this amazing girl gang, and honestly, like, as cheesy as this sounds, I'm really thankful for my husband, because if anyone is sacrificed, it's him. He's the one who I don't hang out with when I'm working till midnight. He's the one that I don't hang out with when I'm working on weekend on Radiant stuff. So as much as I may have sacrificed, like, he has also sacrificed to make my dreams happen. And I'm so thankful to have a husband who is, like, all in, like, you know, shares every girly article from Radiant magazine that I have, you know, is totally down to ride in the passenger seat for a while my dreams happen, because one day when his dreams are coming to life, I'll ride in the passenger seat and he can run with it and I'll support him, you know? So
thank you for sharing that. That speaks to me a lot. And I want to acknowledge you so much for sharing your heart with me today and being honest and being open and sharing the good and the bad. I think that's something that we don't always do as entrepreneurs because we want people to see us in a certain light. And I love that you are so honest. And I feel like this is such a divine interview because now I want to be best friends with you. So let's just hang out all the time. Seriously, next time I'm in Colorado, I really am going to take you out to dinner. And I just want to say thank you so much for the work that you're doing and what you're creating in this world and the light that you put out every single day. It does truly impact other people. And I cannot wait to see, you know, where Radiant goes. And I cannot wait to see what God does with it. So thank you so much for being on today's show. And I cannot wait to meet you in person.
I can't wait to meet you. Thank you so much for having me. You are awesome. This show is, I've listened to every single show. Aww. I love what you're doing and I look up to you. So seriously, thank you.